Philippians chapter 3. And we'll be considering this morning the words of the opening three verses in that third chapter of this epistle of Paul to the church at Philippi. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Having the care of all the churches upon his shoulders, the Apostle Paul had indeed a very heavy load to bear. This care of the churches involved maintaining unity and harmony within each congregation. It also involved something else. It involved keeping the world out of the church. But perhaps the biggest challenge that Paul faced as he cared for each of the congregations, he was their under-shepherd. And no doubt the greatest challenge that Paul faced was identifying and guarding against false doctrine and erroneous teaching. The apostle was aware that there were those who would seek to infiltrate the churches and sow the tares of false doctrine and false teaching. This is something that not only was Paul aware of, but Jude also. And we read in Jude verses 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For, or because, there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jude felt it necessary to alert those to whom he was ministering of the danger of false teachers infiltrating the church, creeping in unawares, and spreading their pernicious doctrines. You turn back to Galatians, and Galatians chapter 1. And there in Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, in writing to the believers at Galatia, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul was amazed that the believers at Galatia were so soon removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Paul based on that gospel, so removed to another gospel. Indeed, Paul says in verse 7, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This is strong language that Paul uses against these false prophets and false teachers. Paul says, let them be accursed. And again in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul was aware that there were those in Galatia who had got into the church and were spreading false doctrine. And indeed, it so influenced the believers in Galatia that they had turned away from the gospel that Paul had preached unto them, unto another gospel, which Paul says is not another. Look at chapter 3 of Galatians. And there in verse 1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? We're saying something about this later on. But you can see from that verse 1 of chapter 3 in Galatians that the believers there had been bewitched. They had been led astray. And they had got their eyes off Christ. They had turned away from the finished work of Christ. And they had been taught and told that there was another work to be done. And Paul, now in writing to the believers at Philippi, sounds the alarm, because he did not want the believers at Philippi to be led astray, to be bewitched, and to be taken up with some false teaching. Three times Paul raised the alarm. Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And dear Christian, our day in which we live is no different from the day in which Paul lived and ministered. More and more churches are falling under the influence of erroneous teaching. Take, for example, New Evangelicalism. What do we mean when we talk about New Evangelicalism? It is found in fundamentalist circles. And with New Evangelicalism, you find there that ecclesiastical separation is no longer preached or emphasized or practiced. The walls of separation have been broken down. Versions other than the authorized have found their way into pulpits of many churches. And doubt is being cast over certain portions of Scripture. Men are saying today, certain portions of Scripture are not inspired. This is all to do with new evangelicalism. There is an abandoning of the old confrontational spirit of days gone by, when men stood up and were counted, where men took a stand for God and protested against apostasy, against compromise, against error. Believer, that's what we are. We are Protestants. That's where the name came from. We are protesters. We are Protestants. And we take our stand for the Lord. Pastors and ministers believe now in many circles that the way forward is not confrontation, but compromise. Oh, we need to compromise and give a little here and give a little there. These changes have not taken place overnight, but over a protracted period of time. And it was brought about by infiltration. Men creeping in unawares, getting into churches, and sowing the tares of false doctrine and teaching, watering down the doctrines of Scripture, obscuring the lines of separation. We need to beware also. Let Paul's word to the Philippian believers be a word to us. For Paul said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware, beware, beware. And as we consider the words of Paul, we notice first of all Paul and his word to the church. Evidently Paul had warned the church about those who may try to infiltrate the church and spread their false teaching. Evidently he had warned the church about such individuals before, when he was there ministering to the church, because you look there in verse 1. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. To write the same things to you. I have told you about these things before. Now I'm putting them down in writing. I'm writing the same things unto you. Here he puts the words of warning in writing. Here you have Paul and his repeated word. Here he reiterates what he has already preached unto them, showing us that certain matters, certain doctrines, certain themes of Scripture need to be dealt with again and again. The Savior repeatedly preached on the subject of prayer while he was with his disciples. You've only to read the Gospel of Luke particularly to see much emphasis the Savior placed on prayer. He preached it again and again and again and again. How often do we read in the Gospels of the Lord Jesus preaching to his disciples and to others about loving one another? Again and again and again. These were matters the Savior felt needed to be spoken about repeatedly. How often do we read in the Gospels of the Lord speaking about his sufferings? He didn't just mention them once, but he told his disciples that he would suffer many things. He told them about the cross. He told them about what would happen to him. And again, he repeated this message over and over again. Why did the Lord Jesus deal with these subjects on a regular basis? Because they were important. That's why. They were important. Why did he repeatedly warn his disciples about false prophets? Particularly, the Lord said, in the last days, false prophets will rise up. He warned them. He sounded the alarm. And he did so over and over and over again. Why? Because it's important. That's why. It is said that George Whitefield preached on that text in John 3. And verse 3, ye must be born again. He preached in that text over 2,000 times. The same message Whitefield preached 2,000 times. And he was asked one day, Mr. Whitefield, why have you preached in that text so often? Mr. Whitefield replied, he said, well, quite simply, it's because you must be born again. He preached the same message because it was important. People needed to be told that they must be born again. And he went on preaching it. And these matters the Savior himself dealt with and preached upon repeatedly. He did so because they're important. And here's Paul now, and he has preached about false doctrine to the congregation of Philippi. Now he puts it down in writing. He's giving it to them again. To write the same things, he says, unto you, to me is not grievous. And when it comes to false doctrine and false teachers and false prophets, believer, we also need to beware. So you Paul and his repeated word. And then you Paul and his responsibility and the word. As a faithful minister of the gospel, Paul knew that he had a responsibility to preach the truth. And wherever necessary, to repeat that truth. To preach it again. And if necessary, preach it again. Remember his parting words to the Ephesian elders. What a tremendous chapter that is in Acts 20. Paul said in Acts 20 verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years. So he ministered to them for 3 years. But he says, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. For 3 years, he sounded the alarm. For 3 years, he warned the congregation night and day. Every night, every day, for 3 years. Some might think, oh, that must have been monotonous for the congregation in Ephesus. Must have been a tedious thing to have Paul sound the alarm and warn the congregation night and day for 3 years. But whether it did or not, whether it sounded monotonous or not, Paul was going to keep warning the people about false teachers infiltrating the work. He was going to continue for the time that he was there at the church at Ephesus. He was going to preach the same message. Like Whitfield. And then the apostle makes mention of this very thing here in verse 1. Because you see, that word grievous, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. The word grievous there means tedious. To me it's not tedious preaching the same thing to you. It may sound tedious to you, Paul says, but it's not tedious to me because these things need to be dealt with. And I have a responsibility, Paul says, to the Lord and to his word to preach the truth. And wherever necessary, to preach it again and again. That word grievous not only means tedious, it can also mean slothful. Slothful. And Paul says, I'm not going to be slothful. I'm not going to be lazy. And miss preaching these matters. They need to be preached upon. I need to sound the alarm. I must be that faithful watchman standing on the tower. And when the enemy approaches, I must sound the alarm. And if the enemy comes against us every day, then every day I will sound the alarm. That's what Paul is saying here. I will be alert to the dangers, and I will alarm you to the danger of false doctrine. Nehemiah, when he was building the walls around Jerusalem, had to contend with the enemy. There were those who were angry that a man like Nehemiah had come to build the walls, and they sought to discourage Nehemiah and the workers. They tried to hinder the work. They tried to infiltrate. For they had said to Nehemiah, let's get together. Let's discuss our differences. Nehemiah gave them the right answer. He said, I'm doing a good work and I cannot come down. I'm up in the walls and I can't come down to you because I have a work to do. But when the enemy endeavored to hinder the work, this is what Nehemiah did. In Nehemiah 4 and verse 7, and it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, our God, and set a watch against them, day and night, because of them. Same phrase used there, day and night, as Paul used. Because you see, the threat was there. It was always there, every day. And the threat was real. And we set a watch. And we prayed to our God. Believer, we need to be on our guard. We need to beware. And take to heart the words of Peter. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Peter says, be ye sober and watch unto prayer. Then you have Paul and the reason for the word. Paul reveals to the church the reason why he repeated these words. Paul said, to me indeed it is not grievous. It's not tedious to me. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You see, Paul wanted to keep the church safe. That's why he sounded the alarm as he did. You take that word safe. To me it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. The word safe means certain, it means sure. It also means untripped up. Giving it its literal meaning, untripped up. Paul repeated his words of caution to the believers because he didn't want them to be tripped up by false teaching. Many unsuspecting Christians today have been tripped up by some new teaching. They have been tripped up or they have been taken in by some new doctrine because they haven't had the truth preached unto them. Because they don't know the truth, what the Bible says. I tell you, believer, if you know what the Scripture says, you'll never go astray. You'll never be tripped up by false doctrine. That's why Paul preached the truth to the believers at Philippi. Acts 17 and verse 21 is a word that could be used to describe many today and why so many are easily tripped up by false teaching. Acts 17 verse 21, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Look at the words again. The Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And there are those today, and when some new movement arises, some new teaching is published, off they go. Curiosity gets the better of them. We had an example of that a few years ago in the Toronto Blessing. The so-called Toronto Blessing. And people were running to it from all over the country, even coming over from England. some new thing. But if you knew the scriptures, if you were acquainted with the truth, you would know that the Toronto blessing was not of God, was not of the Lord, it was not a work of the Spirit of God. It was a work of the flesh. And yet there were those who professed to know the Lord. And off they went to the Toronto blessing to get the blessing. Need to have a good knowledge of the truth. You have a good knowledge of the truth, and you'll spot the counterfeit every time. Like the bank manager in a certain city called in the pastor of a church. He wanted to see him. And he said that whenever the offering of the previous Lord's Day services had been brought into the bank and lodged, they discovered there was a counterfeit note in the offering. And the pastor went into the bank manager's office and he brought out the counterfeit note. And the pastor looked at it. He says, "I don't see any difference. How are we able to spot it? What the difference is?" He says, "It's easy. If you know what a genuine note looks like, it's easy to spot the counterfeit." Believer, when you know the truth, it's easy to spot the counterfeit. And Paul wanted the believers at Philippi to get a hold of the truth. Try the spirits and see if they be of God. Paul did not want the church at Philippi to be tripped up by false doctrine. And that's why he said, "To me, it's not tedious me telling you these things. For you it is safe. It'll keep you safe. It'll keep you from going astray. It'll keep the church safe." That's why Paul was able to say to the church of the elders at Ephesus that he had preached on them the whole counsel of God. That's what it is, proclaiming the whole counsel of God, raising the alarm. Notice also Paul and his warnings. The Paul and his word to the church. Now Paul and his warnings for the church. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Three times he uses the word beware. I think whenever a minister says beware, 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 the congregation needs to sit up and pay attention. You were going around the doors giving out those flyers. And you're about to walk up to someone's front door and you see a sign and it says, "Beware of the dog." And maybe there's a picture there of a snarling Doberman pincer or a Rottweiler. I would say you'd be cautious going up to that door. You'd be looking around waiting for the Rottweiler or the Doberman to come running at you. You'd beware of the dog. You'd be alert. Paul says, beware of dogs. Does that not tell us then we ought to be to use the same caution? Be just as cautious as we would be if we were watching out for a natural dog. And so here he calls upon the church to be diligent. The Lord Himself expects His people to be diligent. That's what the Lord expects of us. He doesn't expect us to go on through life and just accept any old doctrine that comes along. He expects us to be diligent. Matthew 7 and verse 15, He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The Lord said that. He said, "Beware of false prophets." And the Savior also said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of your Sadducees." The leaven. There's the thought of infiltration, the spreading of the poison. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And again, in Luke 20, verse 46, the Savior said, "Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues." The Lord said, "Beware of false prophets, beware of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, beware of scribes." Over and over He said, "Beware." He expects us, believer, to be on our guard. And Paul here calls such dogs evil workers and the concision. Those that spread false doctrine, He calls them dogs. There's no hesitation in describing them this way. And He's not the only one. You turn to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. And there in verse 9. Speaking of the false prophets. Isaiah 56 verse 9. "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts of the in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." Remember what Paul said? "I will not be lazy. I will not slumber. I will tell you the truth. I will sound the alarm." But the false prophets, they slumber like dogs. "Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one for his gain from his quarter." That's what they are. Dumb dogs. That's what the prophet called them. That's what Paul called them. But who's Paul speaking about in particular? We know he's dealing with those who spread false teaching. So who's he talking about in particular? The reference here is to the Judaizers. Jews who profess to be Christians, but who still considered it necessary, among other things, to be circumcised. They believed that Christianity and Judaism could be integrated. Paul didn't agree with that. And he was right. Paul knew that could never be. One was all of grace. Christianity is all of grace. Judaism is all of the law. One was all about Christ. The other was all about Moses. One was the finished work of Christ. The other was the ongoing work of circumcision. And the Judaizers attempted to spread their false teaching, seeking to undermine the gospel that Paul had preached to the church there at Philippi. And they were to beware of any and all influences that might weaken the message of the gospel and lead astray those who had received and accepted Christ. You see the importance of the truth, the importance of preaching the truth. You know the truth, you'll spot the counterfeit. Then you have the danger. Although he was speaking about the same group of people, the Judaizers, yet Paul called them dogs and evil workers. He was describing the different methods they used. The dogs exemplifies devouring error. The evil workers exemplify deceitful tactics. The Judaizers were deceitful. They got into the church. And then they started to spread their pernicious doctrine. F.B. Meyer, great theologian, had some strong words for those who infiltrate churches and seek to spread false, erroneous doctrine. Listen to this. These people are cranks in our churches. They introduce fads and hobbies. They exaggerate the importance of trifles. They catch up every new theory and vagary and follow it to the detriment of truth and love. It is impossible, Meyer says, it is impossible to exaggerate the harm that these people do. And that is very true. We have seen it in years gone by. As Meyer says, they introduce fads, and that's all they are, and hobbies. They concentrate on one little thing. And they say that's so important. It's important to salvation. And it usually has to do with works. Because people still feel they have something to do. They haven't got a hold of the doctrine of justification. And as Meyer says, they catch up every new theory and vagary and follow it to the detriment of truth and love. It is impossible to exaggerate the harm that these people do. That's what Paul was afraid of. And that's why Paul said three times, beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Our time is gone for this particular part of the message. We'll perhaps finish it this evening. But you can see how important it is for us, believer, in this day. And as someone prayed this morning in our prayer meeting, this is the day of apostasy. And we need to hold to the old paths. And we need to maintain the ancient landmarks. And we must not turn to the right or to the left. May God give us the grace to remain faithful to the Lord and to His book. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our most loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the ministry of Paul. We thank Thee, our dear Lord, for his stand for Thee and how he had a love and a heart for all the churches that were under his care. Though, Lord, we know that the devil is as busy today as he was in Paul's day, seeking to deceive, using cunning craftiness. Lord, keep us alert. May we not, Lord, sleep in the watchtower and allow the enemy to overcome us. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today.